So you can go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 16. That's where we're going to be today. So Acts 16. Moving right along through the book of Acts. This is part 21 of our sermon series together. And to put that in perspective, we started this back in January. So taking us, now we've had some weeks here or there where we didn't, you know, go through Acts and we had other things going on. But, you know, this has been pretty long sermon series, and we still have a little ways to go. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to focus in today on verses 6 through 15. And we're going to read that in just a minute. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, the last time we had talked, there had been a dispute among the Christians in Antioch. And because there were so many Gentiles becoming Christians, it caused some of the Jewish believers to be alarmed, because the Jews and the Gentiles, even though they were Christians together, still didn't get along very well. And there was a lot of animosity between those two groups of people. And their issues really centered around two different questions. And the questions were, among the Jews, do the Gentiles have to become Jews before they can become Christians? Meaning, do they have to be circumcised? Do they have to go through all the religious customs that we go through? And then, do the Gentiles have to observe the Mosaic law after they become Christians? And this issue was in serious danger of dividing that new church. And so the early church did what any good Baptist would do. They formed a committee. And they looked at these issues. We call it the Jerusalem Council. And they met under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They made decisions that would bring together the mix of these two totally different cultures into one powerful witness for Jesus Christ. And so they made three very important decisions. They first of all said there's no distinction between any groups of people. They said that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then they also said that we have to yield at times our personal liberties for unity and for the sake of the gospel. That was kind of directed toward the Gentiles. And so they were given a letter, the Gentile Christians were given a letter explaining their decision. And so this next part, I'm going to kind of give you the Cliff's Notes explanation of Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 16, verse 5. Because we're not going to read those today, and I didn't preach out of them, but they have some interesting things that we need to know about before we get to the next part. And so in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 29, the letter is given to the Gentile believers. Next, in verses 30 through 35, the letter was well received among the Gentile believers. The Bible says they actually rejoiced because of its encouragement. So they were encouraged by this good news. In verses 36 through 41, we see Paul wanted to go back with Barnabas to visit the towns where they had preached to inform them of the good news of the Jerusalem Council. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. They had a disagreement. And so as a result, Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, and Paul chose Silas to be his companion after that. And then the first part of chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, Paul also selects Timothy to go on them with this journey, on this journey. Timothy was his son in the faith, if you will. And they went through all the towns and villages to deliver the good news of the Jerusalem Council. And so that brings us up to Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And so as we read this passage this morning, we're going to be reminded of something very, very important, that God works in ways that we least expect at times. So let's take a look at the scripture. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. And I apologize. I always try to get the names of towns right. I had all these names written down phonetically, and I forgot it in my office. So I'm going to try to read them as best I can. And if I say them wrong, you'll understand I'm just a human being, and sometimes I make mistakes, okay? So let's read the scripture together, verses 6 through 15. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the message in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So bypassing Mysia, they came down to Troas, and during the night, a vision appeared to Paul. A Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts and set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to evangelize them. Then setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace the next day, and then the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony which is the leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for a number of days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the city gate by the river where we thought there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there, and a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. And after she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So we see here some very important events that happened just after the incident of the Jerusalem Council. And there's a couple of things that I want us to notice in this scripture this morning. Two main points that I want us to understand. Here's the first point. Sometimes God closes and opens doors where we least expect. Sometimes God closes and opens doors where we least expect. When you read verses 6 through 7, at least when I read it, it's a little bit puzzling to me. Because as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, why would the Holy Spirit prevent Paul and his companions to preach in certain places? And so obviously, it's not like Paul was doing anything wrong. Okay? His heart was definitely in the right placing, wanting to preach the gospel to these regions in Asia. And I'm sure it seemed a little bit strange to Paul. And perhaps there's been something in your life before that you could probably give us a recall right now if we were to ask you, but perhaps you wanted to do something wonderful for the Lord, and then all of a sudden God just closed that door. He closed the window. And so why does God do that? At times, because most of the time, I think probably our heart is in the right place. We want to serve the Lord. We want to go to a certain area. We want to do a certain ministry. We want to do a certain thing, and God closes the door. Why does He do that sometimes? Well, there could be a number of reasons. It could be for our protection. It could be to prevent us from making a mistake. It could be to test our faith or to redirect our relationship with the Lord. But you know, I believe the main reason God closes doors, it's because He's God and we're not. And sometimes we're not known. We don't need to know the reason why. We always want to know the reason. We're people that want to know the news, right? We want to know what's going on. We want to be in the know. But there are times that God closes the door, and it just simply could be because He's God and we're not. He's smarter than us, and we're dumber than Him. He knows the beginning and the end. We only know the here and now. And so God closes the door, and so we just have to trust in Him. We don't have to know the reason. We have to simply trust in God's timing. And really, as we know history now, the Holy Spirit closing the door there on Asia was only temporary, because ultimately God had a bigger plan to bring the gospel to Europe first. And so in that time, the gospel later on did reach Asia and to many more places to the disciples, but it all began in Europe where Paul and Silas went there. And so we read about the gospel's penetration later into Asia, later on the book of Acts. We'll get into that later. And so the closed door here was only temporary and did not mean in any way that God did not want people in Asia to hear the gospel. Because the Bible clearly says that God wants everyone to come to repentance. The Bible teaches that in the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And so God does want people to know Him. It was only a temporary change of plans at that time. But it's customary, when God closes one door, He often opens another. And such was the case with Paul and his companions here. Because Paul goes on to receive what many refer to as the Macedonian call. You ever heard that term before? Sometimes people use that in Christian circles. He received what many refer to as the Macedonian call. And so Paul answered the call. He had this vision that God gave him. He answered the call, and he and his companions, the Bible says, immediately left for Macedonia. In fact, verse 11 says they ran a straight course. That's a fancy way to saying they made a beeline for that area. They didn't waste any time at all. They went immediately to that area. And that got me to thinking a little bit here as I was reading that. You know, what is my attitude when I know for sure what God's will is? You know, there's times in our lives when we don't exactly know what God is leading us to do. And so we kind of have to wait for his direction. We have to wait and be patient before he tells us. But there are times in our lives when we know exactly what God wants us to do. We know it's his will. And in my life, do I run a straight course or do I linger behind? Do I make a beeline and go where God wants me to go or do what God wants me to do? Or do I linger behind? Do I look for excuses or drag my feet or do I get busy in other things other than what God has called me to do? But Paul's team went immediately. And when they arrived, though, they had to wait a little bit. So God said, go. And then they went immediately. And what happened? Then God said, wait. It's like, God, what are you doing here? Okay. We listened to what you said. We made it. We went immediately to where you wanted us to go. We wanted to go to these other places, and you said no. Now you're telling us to go here, and then we have to wait. Again. Sometimes we don't know God's purposes and all that. And it's not our right to have to know everything. And so they went immediately. And as they arrived, they had to wait a number of days. And I know that was probably hard for Paul. And he probably thought, God, you gave us this vision to go to Macedonia. And now we're just sitting around. And maybe they even ask, are we in the right place here? God, you called me to go. Now I'm sitting around doing nothing. What in the world is going on here? And sometimes we are just like that. We wait and we wait upon God, and sometimes it might even cause us to have doubts. Am I in the right place? Did God call me here? Am I supposed to be here? But let me just say, guys, let me just encourage you. When you know God's will and he tells you to go, and you go and then you're waiting, don't be quick to throw in the towel. It's a boxing thing, right? And you're watching a boxing match, and some guy's getting beat up real bad, and his corner throws in the towel, says, stop the fight. This is it. That's the end of it. Don't be so quick to throw in the towel because God still has a plan. Be patient. Wait on the Lord because as we're about to see, there are benefits to waiting on the Lord and just one convert can make a huge difference in the kingdom of God. Such was the case in Paul and his companion's life. So number one, sometimes God closes and opens a door when we least expect. Point number two, sometimes God works in the hearts of people we least expect. Sometimes God works in the hearts of people we least expect. You know what? Lydia is that person. The Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about Lydia. We know that she was originally from Thyatira, but she was living in Philippi when she met Paul. The Bible says she was a seller of purple cloth, which Thyatira is famous for. In fact, Thyatira is where the purple dye industry was located at that time. Now, if you want to know where the dye came from, I'll tell you. The dye was obtained from a spiny dye murex. That's an animal. It's a medium-sized predatory sea snail. Anybody know that? I didn't know that before then, and I looked it up. So archaeologists have actually found among the ruins of Thyatira inscriptions relating to a dyer's guild in that city. It could be possible that Lydia was a member of that guild, but there's no evidence. The Bible doesn't specifically say to prove it. But Lydia was involved in the seller of purple cloth, which is very expensive. And because she was a seller of purple cloth, she was probably financially secure. She probably had some wealth in what she did, okay? In those days, purple cloth was valuable, it was expensive, and its value was equated with that of silver. So it was really a big deal to be someone who made these purple linens and sold these purple linens because it was very expensive. Now, the Bible also says that Lydia was a worshiper of God. And because she was honoring the Sabbath, most likely she was probably a Jew. Because she was doing that, Paul took notice of what was going on in Lydia's life. He was there with some other women. Paul began to speak with Lydia and other women who had gathered there, the Bible says. And the Bible goes on to say that the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and she was listening. She was listening to the message of Paul. And so the verb usage in the Greek language implies that Lydia was listening intently. It wasn't just a casual, okay, I'm hearing this guy talk and I'm catching a few of his words here or there. She was listening intently to what Paul was saying. And in that time, her heart was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we know that she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She listened to each word with great interest. She was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and she became a follower of Christ that day. And so here's the point I'm trying to make here. Lydia's conversion marks the start of a new period in the Bible, because up to that point, the gospel had not gone further west than Asia Minor, okay? In fact, on this journey, Paul's original intention had been to stay in Asia, but God, again, remember, changed his plans. The Lord sent this vision to Paul, calling him to go westward across the Aegean Sea into Macedonia. And then here's this woman, Lydia, a native of Asia Minor, who is the first person to have been saved in Europe. Now, why do I say all that? Why is Lydia's conversion important? What can we glean from this understanding here? Now, remember what Lydia said after she became a believer. Look at it again in verse 15. Let's read it again. It says, after she and her household were baptized, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This means, guys, if you want to read between the lines, this means that she aided and helped Paul and Silas during their missionary journey. Now remember, she was a woman of great wealth. She had some means behind her. And so she encouraged Paul and Silas, Timothy, to come stay at her house. And Lydia, again, was financially secure because she was a seller of purple cloth. And so she was able to aid their ministry in a time of need. And so guys, here's the point I want to make this morning. If you don't get anything else, I want you to listen intently now, okay? Maybe you were casually listening a minute ago, but I want you to listen intently now, okay? In the church, and we all do this, okay? And I don't think we do it on purpose, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but in the church, we tend to put people with ministry jobs, pastors, people that are on staff in churches, missionaries, we tend to put them on a pedestal, and I understand why we do that. Let me just say that not all of us are called to be a pastor and a missionary. God doesn't call us all to be working in a church as a pastor or going on the mission field somewhere. Now, we're all called, yes, to be witnesses. And so we are all missionaries in the sense of a word, that because we tell people about Jesus. But we're not all called, that's not our vocation, right? We're not all pastors. We're not all missionaries in the sense that's our job. So we're not all called to do that. Lydia shows us that God can use a person with any kind of job to build his kingdom. Let me say that again. Lydia shows us that God can use any kind of person with any kind of job to build his kingdom. And Lydia's life proves that the work of a worldly job, I put that in air quotes, can be used as a ministry. And because of her wealth, she helped provide Paul and Silas, and ultimately the proclamation of the gospel was furthered because of her friendship with Paul and Silas and her help in aiding them in their ministry. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped to think that your job that you have right now, whether you love it or hate it, okay, I know that work is work and sometimes we don't like our jobs. Listen, I've done a lot of different jobs in my life. I've been a janitor. In fact, before I became your pastor, when I was living in Muskogee, you know what I did? I worked in a GI lab. I assisted doctors during colonoscopies. I got to clean the scopes after the procedure. You talk about a dirty job, okay? I've done lots of jobs in my life, and I know that you've done lots of jobs in your life that you necessarily didn't like, okay? But did you ever stop to think that the job that God has you at currently is for a greater purpose than just making money for your family? Did you ever think about that? That's part of it, yes. We are to provide for our families. The Bible says if you don't work, then you're worse than an infidel, you know, worse than an unbeliever. So we have to work and we have to provide for our families. But did you ever think that your job that you currently work at is greater for a greater purpose than just making money to provide for your family? Yeah, that's part of it. But the life of Lydia shows us much more. You know, in my opinion, every job, is a calling, is a vocation. No matter what you do in life, God has called you to that thing. Every job not only gives us an opportunity to provide for our families, but to also build God's kingdom. You know how we do that? We give tithes and offerings. You know, we give it to our church. Our church uses it for local ministry here. We send some on to our convention, which goes to our missionaries and other things, church planting, church strengthening, things like that. All this money is used in cooperation with other churches, and it builds the kingdom of God. The way that we're able to do that is by people giving tithes and offerings to the church, to their local body of believers right here at Bogey Hills. And so a part of your money, a tenth, hopefully, goes to the Lord. You give it to your local church, and then that goes to build the kingdom of God. If you didn't have a job, if you didn't have income, the work of the ministry would not be going forth. And so your job is not just to provide bread and milk and eggs and all those types of things, be able to pay your electric bill and your car and gas and all that. That's part of it. But ultimately your job is to be used for the furtherance of God's kingdom, no matter what you do in life, no matter where you're at today. And some of you are not where you want to be. You know, I think about young people working, you know, I've worked at McDonald's and stuff like that. That wasn't my life's goal, to work at McDonald's. But for a time in my life, I did. Maybe that's where you're at in your life. This is not where I want to be. But eventually, no matter where you are, not eventually, but no matter where you are now and eventually where you will end up later, God is wanting to use that for a greater purpose than just to provide spending money. And so for Paul, Lydia would become a crucial ally in the mission to spread the news of Christ to these faraway lands. And where did Paul get the money to travel? The lodge, to rest his head, to eat. He got it from business owners and sacrificial givers like Lydia. Amen? Like Lydia. And so listen, the next time you buy purple cloth, you need to remember Lydia. You need to remember Lydia. And you need to remember the contribution, her contribution to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guys, you know, the story of Lydia, we don't know a whole lot about her other than just write what's here. But the story of Lydia in the Bible is a great example of God's wisdom and his care for believers. The Bible says that Lydia was a worshiper of God. But, you know, and also we think about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. At this point in her life, she had not heard the gospel. And God rerouted Paul and his friends. And he also ensured that Lydia would be in the right place at the right time to hear that message. And that day, her life was forever changed. And as Lydia heard the gospel, and as God radically changed her life, as a result, Lydia showed hospitality to those who brought the good news. And listen, she wouldn't take no for an answer. That's why she said, listen, what does it say again in verse 15? If you consider me a believer in Christ, come stay at my house. She wouldn't take no for an answer. If you think I'm a believer, if you think that God's radically changed my heart and I became a Christian and the outward appearance is that me and my household were all baptized, we all became believers, there's the proof. If you believe I'm a believer, then come stay at my house. And so like Lydia, are we using our gifts and our abilities to do what we can where we are? We're all at different places. We all have different jobs. We all make different amounts of money. But your job, your livelihood, the way that God has blessed you is not just for you. It's not just to spend on you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's ultimately to be used for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Listen, I go on vacations like everybody else. We just went on a vacation. I want everybody to be able to do that. But I think we all understand that our life's goal is not just to be one big vacation. Our life's goal, together as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to further the kingdom of God. And God wants to do that through you and me. He did it through Lydia, and he can do it through you, okay? So that's what I want you to take today from this, and I hope that you're encouraged by that. And maybe this morning, as we are coming to an end here, Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And, you know, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart today about a decision you need to make. And that's why we have a song of invitation, to allow God to work in our hearts. That's what God is most concerned about, our heart. And so maybe this morning God is speaking to you about a decision that you need to make. Now, we do things a little bit differently now, and we talked about it last week, but if you notice on the bulletin board over here, right above Jay's head, and then back here as you leave out, and back here on the back table, there's a sheet there with a QR code that you can scan. If you want to make a decision for Jesus Christ, whether that to become a Christian, whether you want to talk about baptism, becoming a member of this church, surrendering your life to missions or to ministry, we want you to go and scan that code and go to it. You can fill out that information. You submit it, and that information will come directly to me. Nobody else will see it. And we can follow up with you the decision that you want to make. If you don't want to scan the code, you can go to our website. Right at the top, it says Connect Card, right? Connect is the top. You drop that down. You hit Connect Card. It'll take you to the same place. You can fill that out, and we'll get in touch with you. So the decisions that you make today, we want to know about it. Okay, you need to tell somebody. And so we want you to fill that out so that we can have a record of what's going on, so we can get you to the help and point you to that next step in your life spiritually, okay? So as we sing this song of commitment today, let God do business in your heart. Let Him speak to you, make that decision, and then tell us about it, because we want to help you on that next part of your journey, okay? So let's stand together. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing our song of commitment. Father, today we thank You for what You've done in our lives. The things that we've witnessed today have been such an encouragement to us. The fact that You're working the hearts and lives of people in this church, that You're working through others to lead them, Father, we are so excited to see that. And Lord, we want to see more. We want to see many people come to know You. Father, we want to be used by You to the fullest extent. And Lord, You know every one of us. You know what our gifts and talents are. And You know what our levels of income are. And Father, You know the willingness that we have to serve You. And so I just pray, Father, that all across this place, we would recognize that You have called us individually to build the kingdom of heaven together. Father, we are the church. You've called us to be on mission for You. And I pray that we would recognize that and that we would give all that we can to You for that purpose. So Lord, work in our hearts now as we sing this song. Move among us. Let Your Holy Spirit have Your way. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen.